Welcome to Myths, Monsters, and Legends. Today we are going to talk about Japanese mythology. We're going to study three different yokai, the kappa, the kitsune, and I studied so hard to pronounce this one, but it's the uwambi. Today joining me, it's Smoke the Dragon. Kit, resident kitsune.
Hi, hi.
Papa Panther.
I'm in the background.
And the lovely Lady Lynx.
Hello.
Hi, Lynx.
All right, so today we're going to start talking about the kappa. So, of course, last week we tried to record it and we had technical difficulties. Boo! So with the kappa, there was a few things that we found out about it. So the kappa is also known as a river child, a river boy, a water tiger, and a horse puller. I mean, I can see where they would get that. A lot of the mythology about kappas involve them coming out of the water to drown either people or animals.
Don't get too close to the edge of the water.
Right, Kit? Also, the kappa is an amphibious yokai, demon, or imp, depending on which part of the mythology you read. Who is depicted as a green human-like creature with webbed hands and feet and a turtle-like carapace or shell on its back. There's a depression on its head called a dish that retains water, and if it's damaged or the water is lost, the kappa is weakened. So in some myths, I found that the kappa isn't just weakened, it's killed, which seems kind of harsh.
I've heard the myth is that what they'll do is they'll completely dry up, like turn it, and even turn to dust at some said.
Oh wow, that sounds kind of ick. I don't know, I wouldn't want a dried turtle.
Depends on whether or not you were making soup.
What were you saying?
Just that for the kappa legend, there's also various spells and whatnot in the Japanese, more potions, because the Japanese and the Oriental as a whole use talismans and elixirs as their magical source. There's a lot of them that have ingredients utilizing the kappa for protection.
Oh, that's really cool.
But the main exorcism elixir that you use to purify an area utilizes powdered kappa shell.
So, kappas favor cucumbers and love to sumo wrestle. They are often accused of assaulting humans in water. See, it goes back. They drag people and animals into water so that they can remove a mythical organ called the Shiri Kodama from their victim's anus. Buy us dinner first. That's the only thing. Buy us dinner first.
Right? At least. Damn. Like, why not dine me a little?
Mythical organ, the location stated for it is the prostate.
Okay, so they do rectal exams for guys?
I mean, if I go for a rectal exam and the doctor takes something out of my butt, we got a problem.
Exactly.
I can see that. The kappa is said to be about the size of a child, and they inhabit ponds and rivers of Japan. I mean, they're amphibious, so I would assume they inhabited ponds and rivers. The kappa is believed to be slimy by some people in Japan, and by others, it's believed to be scaly, kind of like a T-Rex.
It's scaly, but it's, think water snake. Like, it feels slimy because of the wetness, but it's a scaly, it's a cross between, like, snake and turtle. That's where the, it came from. A lot of people say slimy because they also utilize frog.
Okay. I can see that. Slick like a frog. I did find a myth in the saga of Ginta, the brave and wise, that I kind of wanted to share with you guys because it was like a really cool myth. So one summer evening, Genta returns home after a long ride and ordered his servant to hitch his horse near a shady tree so that it could drink from the river. Of course, he goes in the house and leaves the horse and the servant outside. Does whatever, you know, guys who just came home from war do. Eat, drink, probably spend time with his wife, things like that. Yeah, personal time. Genta comes back outside and he is shocked and appalled, dismayed, to witness a kappa trying to drag his horse back into the lake by its forelegs. And his servant appears to be under some kind of spell and was pouring more water into the depression on the kappa's head. Because of course, the more water you pour on their head, the stronger they get. That seems weird. I wouldn't want to fight anything that gets stronger the wetter it gets. So, of course, thinking quick, he's like, I've got a plan. So, seeing the kappa is intent on dragging his horse into this river, he quickly grabs rope, he throws it over the kappa, and he ties it up. He hangs it upside down so that the water is flowing out of its head, and his servant is now released from the spell. And you don't hear about him anymore, but I'm pretty sure he just runs off. Because if it was me, I'd have took the fuck off too. Genta plans on killing the creature. However, he was moved by its pleas for mercy and its promise to never harm another living soul again. I feel like that's bad judgment on Genta, because you can't actually state that this thing that you don't know how long it lives is never going to hurt somebody again. That's just me. Yeah, Smoke said it best. Kappa are also deceitful. Genta decides he's going to make the kappa turn around and recite its oath 3 times before letting it go. And I know Papa said at some point when I was discussing this with him that 3s are part of superstition. He's gone now, of course. Oh, Papa's there. What was it you said, Papa?
In a lot of different cultures, 3 is a number of power.
Yes.
I don't know why, but like repeating things 3 times or having 3 of something usually for whatever reason is seen as that. I believe Sherlock at one point actually says something about how 3 must be a comforting number in the BBC series.
What the number for 3 signifies and where that comes from is the fact of, so 1 is prime, 1 represents self. 2 is pair, it's duality, it's you and somebody else. You and somebody else generally makes 3, and that 3, that child that results often, is a sign of change in everything in your life will change after the first child. So 3 is a number of change.
I can see that by some cultures, but again, 3 is a number that comes up in cultures across the world, and it's not always based on
that. That sounds kind of cool. 3 is change.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
And Sherlock's point was, people usually give up after 3.
Yeah, I can understand now why Genta would have him go around in circles 3 times. It's like, hey, I'm gonna make sure this change takes with you.
It's also entirely possible that that could just be a Europeanized version of the tale, because in European, when dealing with the Fae, if you get them to state something 3 times, they have to follow it.
That's possibility,
so
too.
It could just be a translation thing to make it more understandable for European listeners.
Wasn't that also a thing with an Austin Powers villain?
Yes.
If you ask him 3 times, he has to tell you the truth.
That was because of OCD, though.
I mean, still. OCD, actually, also 3 is usually a thing.
More common
than other numbers.
3 and 7.
Yep.
3 and 7 are the biggest numbers. And that's because of the superstition surrounding them.
So, of course... Of course, the kappa of Cowichino River never bothered another human or animal again. And I kind of understand it a little better now. Because when I read it by myself, I was kind of like, okay, I can turn around in 3 circles and say I'm not going to eat chocolate. But I can guarantee when I get home, I'm going to eat chocolate.
But have you tried clicking your heels 3 times?
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. Chocolate's too addictive. Chocolate equals life.
Unless you're a dog, then chocolate equals gastrointestinal distress.
I wouldn't want that on anybody. So next we're going to talk about the kitsune. So the kitsune is a fox yokai who are often known as intelligent beings with paranormal powers. The older a kitsune gets, the wiser and more powerful. This is also seen in older kitsune having more tails. So in some of the myths I found, it states that kitsune never exceed 9 tails. But there were some myths that talked directly about kitsune that had 9 as well as 10, 13, and 14 tails, never exceeding 20, which I kind of thought that was kind of cool. A 10-tailed kitsune will turn white and is seen to be one of the most powerful of the kitsune. Kitsune are portrayed as fateful guardians, friends, lovers, and wives. Most tales depict the kitsune as punishing wicked priests, greedy merchants, and boastful drunkards. Now, kitsune are known to be shapeshifters, but that's not really just them. So, shapeshifting into human form, all foxes are said to be able to do in Japanese mythology. Kitsune can take on more than just human forms. They can become giants, monsters, plants, animals. They can become anything. They're almost like tanuki, only fox.
And without giant balls.
Yeah, they don't have giant balls. Kitsune powers are illusions, possessions, mind manipulation, various charms, and foxfire. So Naruto got something right, because doesn't Naruto have foxfire?
Not exactly. He gets a red sort of chakra thing around him that could be construed as that. I think you're thinking more of Inuyasha and Shippo the Fox.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Foxfire!
Yeah, it's anime. There's so many of them. Now, while kitsune are seen as mischievous, they also have a very important job. They are protectors and messengers for the temples of the god Inara.
Goddess Inari?
Yes, the goddess Inari. And you can see them in present day Japan all over their shrines and temples. You'll see hundreds, if not thousands, of little fox figurines or statues in these temples, because those are messengers. And I kind of thought that was a little cool.
Yeah, man, bring a little caricature of a fox and be like, Inari, I need you to hear my prayer. Here, little dude, you tell her.
Yeah, I could see that.
So the Inari Temple in Japan is actually also known as the Thousand Gates, because you have to walk through 1,000 gates to reach the temple.
Plus one, there are dozens.
Yeah, there are a dozen of Inari temples.
Yeah.
The main big one, it has the Thousand Gate Temple. But there's a little one outside of where Nagasaki used to be, well, where Nagasaki is, that has thousands of little foxes that face a wall where the temple used to stand. And I thought that was really cute.
They also do fox villages in Japan?
Yes. They do fox villages, and there's a tanuki village not far from a fox village.
Ooh.
I would like to go there.
I want to go to the fox village.
So, I know Kit knows everything that there is to know about kitsune, but I did find a myth that I thought that she hadn't heard before, and I figured she might like it. So, there was once a very lonely man who was hard at work on his farm. He worked day in and day out and had plenty of food to eat and a nice home, which he took very good care of. And he only wanted a wife. That's the only thing he didn't have. He had searched for many years for a woman to make his own, but could never find one suitable enough. I think his standards were like way above high. They were like god tier.
Well, if you saw a kitsune in human form, they were always said to be very beautiful, or vice versa, handsome if it was a male.
Men can be beautiful too.
This is true.
So one day, while he was about in his field, he looked up to find a staggeringly beautiful woman. Like, she was a perfect 10. Like, there's no such thing as a 10 in by today's standards, but she was a 10. And he believed she could be nothing less than a lady. And he fell in love immediately. I'm talking about love at first sight. Cupid hit him with an arrow, and he was like, that's my woman.
And then Cupid immediately got arrested because foreigners weren't allowed in.
Yes, Cupid immediately got arrested.
Shame on him.
And he explained to her all he had and how he could take care of her. And to his great joy, she agreed to marry him. So the couple gets married, and they've lived very happily together for many years. And then to his joy, she tells him that she is with child. She's pregnant. She's getting ready to have a baby. They've been trying. It's been like 6 years now. And now she's like, I'm pregnant. And he's like, yes, I'm going to have a kid. Woo! You know. At the same time as his wife gives birth, his dog, who has been faithful to him, gives birth as well to a single puppy. And, you know, he's kind of happy about the dog having a puppy because now he thinks this puppy will grow old with my son and they'll be the best of friends. You know, like most people think when they have a dog that's giving birth when they're pregnant. But stuff doesn't go the way that he plans. As the puppy grows, it gets more and more vicious toward the lady of the house. So his wife is like, dude, your dog, he growls every time I come in the room. But she's still not scared of this, and she still goes along with it until one day she's cleaning and the dog attacks her. And I mean, this pup just tore into her arm. She's terrified for her life. And the woman vanished in a fit of robes and silk. I mean, she just disappears and her clothes just drop to the floor. It's almost like when, what is that? When Ginny, not Ginny, Hermione turns into a cat, only, you know, she turns into a real cat. So her clothes are gone. But her clothes are still there. And her husband sees her as a fox. And I feel bad for the guy because she realizes that she messed up and now he's seen that she's pretty much a kitsune. And she takes off. She runs and he can't catch her. He can't find her. I mean, she's a fox, of course, because she's scared that now he's going to sick this dog on her. And he's heartbroken because he loves her. He doesn't care that she's a fox spirit. He cries for her every night, wandering the fields in despair, calling out in his voice that grew hoarse and broken from tears for her to please kitsune. And I feel like that's really sad. Like, I mean, I love Kit. If she turned into a fox, I'd be like, cool, bitch, let's go. Change back. We still have shit to do today.
Okay, so not to upset you, I actually do know the story already. One of my favorite stories, just to go over it real fast. Mm-hmm. Are you cool with that?
Yeah.
What's the purpose of this?
So my favorite story of Kitsune is actually more of a think of how you treat others kind of story. So there's an orphanage, there's, I forget exactly how many kids, but it's not a high number. It's less than 10. So it's a very small knit group of kids that all are relying on each other. And the person who is running the orphanage is not a good person.
Are they ever, though?
Not really. So there is sometimes. But no, not normally not so. But in this situation, this orphanage is next to the forest. Well, the man gets drunk one night, comes home, and he's already outside screaming and yelling at these kids. This kitsune has already been watching and has already seen how he already treats these children. Coming home drunk, she takes the opportunity. She turns into a human exposure.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful robes flowing around her. She's, as all kitsune are, a 10. And she proceeds to giggle as this man sees her and calls out to her. She giggles and fades off into the woods. Seeming to play him of, come along with me. So she leads him into the woods and all the way back to the point of this pond. In which case, it cuts. The story just cuts at that point. The following day, the orphans wake up. On this day, a person was coming to check the orphanage. They found no caregiver. In which case, they put out, you know, to look for him. They found his tracks leading into the forest. They found him, his footprints leading to this pond. Upon reaching the pond, a single fox jumps up onto a rock that sits upon the in the middle of the pond, and the footsteps have just disappeared at the end of the edge of the pond. His body was never found, and it was a lesson given when they spoke to the kids and found out that they had been mistreated.
Can I please give a happy legend of the kitsune?
Yeah.
Because both of those are sad as shit.
No.
Alright, so there's another legend for the kitsune that's happy ending type. And what it is there's a trapper going through the forest and everything like that. He lays down snare traps and all that stuff and whatnot. One day, he sits there and in one of his traps, he finds a fox. Well, he doesn't hunt foxes. He doesn't go for fox pelts or anything like that. Heard the stories about the, you know, kitsune doesn't want any of them vengeful for him or anything like that. So he sits there and just like, you know what? This is a small fox. I can't really get anything out of it and whatnot, and I'm not, this snare wasn't meant for the fox. So he lets the fox go, and the fox, like, scampers off, looks at him and whatnot. Next day, the fox comes back. And he sits there, you know, gives the fox some of the scraps from his previous day's hunting and everything like that. This happens for a few days and whatnot, and then he ends up getting hurt. He's not able to go out hunting or anything like that. On that day, this beautiful little girl, about, you know, kid's height, 5 foot somewhere.
Kid's height. Yeah. I'm 5'3", guys. I'm small, okay?
But, 5 foot, whatnot, very slim, young-looking girl and whatnot shows up, and just, you know, very, very polite, talking with him, talking, like, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that you can't go and check your traps. Where are they? I'll go check them for you. And she goes, and while this guy's recovering and whatnot, she's takes care of the traps, she lays the traps, feeds, goes and gathers the hunts from them and everything like that, and brings them back to him. He takes care of everything after that and whatnot. While she's doing this for him, he feeds her and everything like that. Then the last day, he's able to walk again. He slowly, over time, this one starts to fall in love with the girl. But on the last day, when he's able to walk again, he sits there and he gets up from his bed, he walks, and he's like, hey, I think I can go check my traps today. And she sits there and just, you know, oh, I'm so happy to hear that and everything like that. And then she just melts into the form of a fox and scampers off. And he realizes that the fox that he helped him out when he needed it most, because without that help, he would not have been able to feed himself, he would not have been able to provide for the household or anything like that. And it's just this, like, help others because they'll pay it forward, and it'll come, what goes around comes around. And it's one of those, like, touching ones.
Yeah.
It's like, because you guys shared all this sad shit. It's
like, sad.
Here's what's absolutely sad. It involved murder.
Murder is not sad. Murder especially can't. When someone deserves it.
It does not stop murder from being sad. It just means that it's justified.
So yeah, there are thousands of myths about the kitsune.
Yeah.
And it is a beautiful creature. And kitsune does mean fox. and it is one of the most prolific creatures from Japanese mythology. You see them in anime. You see them everywhere. TV shows.
I would use the term popular, not prolific.
Popular, correct. We'll change that word to popular.
Prolific means it has lots of children.
I mean...
there are legends about that, but just saying, there are more prolific.
There are very, very many myths about the how prolific Kitsune can be. And now a word from our sponsors. The final Japanese yokai we are going to talk about is the Uwabami. See, I'm messing it up already. Uwabami. All right. So this creature interested me because it makes you think that it might be one of those Japanese dragons, but it's not. The Uwabami translates into giant snake or giant serpent. Okay, the Uwabami is known to be fond of alcohol, and they're gluttonous. Like, they eat more than they should be able to. They eat more than their body weight in food. Like, they eat more than regular snakes. Does that make sense?
It's a tribute given to snakes that they're always hungry, because when you eat, see a snake eat, you see it eat like full deer and everything like that.
Yeah, these are known to eat more than just like one deer at a time.
It comes from the legend of seeing, like, you see one giant snake eat a deer.
Yeah.
And then the next day you see a different giant snake with similar coloration eat a deer. Now that giant snake, that single giant snake, needs a full deer every day to eat.
Yeah.
And you get those legends like that.
These guys eat, like, in one sitting. There is a myth about them sitting down and eating a cow, a horse, a man, a goat, a sheep, half of a mountain, and they were still hungry. Like, they eat a lot.
Also, Uwabami, just commenting on earlier, because I did not know the legend, so I looked it up while waiting to record the thing, actually is in reference to any great serpent. So the Oriental dragons are also considered Uwabami.
Hmm.
So, the most famous story of an Uwabami is Yoichi no Orochi.
Okay, that's not the one I have, though.
I know.
Orochi was a many-headed serpent.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And still considered an Uwabami.
They enjoy feeding on people. Like, that's their favorite food, by the way. They like to eat people. So, you know, if you're walking a mountain path and you just hear a snake's tail that sounds like it's kind of a rattlesnake's tail, and it sounds like it's bigger than you, then I think you shouldn't go that way, because you can be dinner.
I mean, if you hear a rattlesnake's tail that sounds bigger than you, don't go that way anyway, because I don't want to see that fucking snake.
I don't think any of us want to see a snake bigger than us. I don't want to see a rattlesnake bigger than me. I'm sorry.
I like snakes, but no.
Yeah, it's one of those. Yeah, we call it a nope rope for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
They are known to set ambushes and assault travelers in mountain passes. Because of their size, they are able to easily swallow full-grown humans whole. And a clever person can easily outsmart them. Yes, because they are usually drunk, because they love their alcohol, and they can take human form.
Kind of.
Found one that can.
The human form that they can take is similar to what Voldemort was in the Harry Potter movies. Like,
I mean,
human shaped, but if you get close, you can easily tell.
Voldemort was a Uwabami.
Confirmed.
That's why he had to have unicorn blood. He wasn't leaving their bodies around like Hagrid thought. He was eating them and then doing the snake digestive thing and leaving that part of their bodies behind. Ew, that sounds nasty.
Crush them and then, like, regurgitate them.
Yeah.
You can't pass bones. Snake bodies are small.
So, the myth of the Uwabami that I found is about Daija. So long ago, there was a Daija who lived in Onimua Lake. Every year, he would transform into an extremely handsome young man and traveled to the eastern mountains to view the cherry blossoms. One spring, he spied a beautiful young woman all by herself under the blossoms. I know you're thinking like me. Back then, where the hell was her parents?
Hiding from a giant snake.
Duh. We're getting there. You're gonna understand why I say we're getting there. The woman was Kurihime, the daughter of Takanashi Masamori, a powerful lord of Shinano province. Kurihime also spied the handsome young man who was watching her, and she found him irresistible. The two became acquainted and soon fell in love. So I don't think it was like she came once to see the cherry blossoms and she was like, oh my God, I want that. That's my guy. I think it was more like, you know, that teenage puppy love where you see somebody at school and you see them every day and you're like, Jacob is like so hot. That's kind of how I felt she was about him. Sometime later, the handsome young man paid a visit to the castle of Takanashi Masamori. He introduced himself as the great snake who lived in Onima Lake, guardian deity of the Shiga Highlands. He explained that he and Kurihime were in love and asked the Lord for her hand in marriage. Now, this is where Dad becomes a little bit of a bad guy. Masamori immediately snapped that he would never give his daughter to someone who was not human. Like, dude, let them be in love.
I mean, you say that, but I can fully understand a dad sitting there going, hey, my daughter loves this demon. No.
I mean, okay, so you could go that route, but if you just pretend like it doesn't exist and be like, look, she gonna come to senses soon.
But gonna die.
That's her cross to bear. Okay.
She might die before she comes to her senses. We don't want that. We want our daughter to live.
Sometimes kids, okay, not saying that kids are stupid, but kids are stupid sometimes.
kids are absolutely stupid, which is why parents, we have to make the decision for them sometimes.
I understand that.
Look, honey, I know, but I know it looks fun. But you can't jump off the roof with only a blanket or an umbrella to stop it.
It doesn't work that way.
That roof is three stories tall.
That is true. So the young man did not give up. He returned day after day to ask for her hand in marriage. I'm telling you. Look, this is where Dad becomes a bit of a dick, though. He agrees. He finally is like, sure, you can have my daughter's hand in marriage.
What?
But then he gives a condition. If you can keep up with me on horseback and complete 7 laps around my castle, I will give you my daughter. The young man eagerly accepts and leaves, stating he will return to the castle in a few days. Cool. He's going to come back for the race. Now, Masamori, he was not about to let his daughter marry a snake. He devised a plan to kill the creature so it would leave him and his daughter alone forever. I don't think he thought this all the way through, though, because deity of the lake means that it's always there, so it's not gonna go away. Masamori devised a plan to kill the creature. He was an expert rider and knew where he was gonna have his servants hide these swords, so he could easily be able to avoid them. The poor snake couldn't. Like, at some point he's gonna have to become a snake because he's gonna want to keep up with me on horseback. Cool. So he sets his trap. When the day of the race came, the young man showed up at the castle as promised. The race began, and Takanashi Masamori spurred his horse into action. He was indeed an expert rider, and the young man could not keep up with the Lord unless he transformed into a snake. I mean, that's just how it was. He was a giant snake. He could keep up with the horse if he was a giant snake. That's what he did.
He didn't do it on horseback.
He wasn't supposed to.
He was supposed to stay on horseback.
No, the king.
The guy was on horseback.
Is supposed to be on horseback. Yeah. If he can keep pace with him.
I read the, if you can keep pace with me on horseback, as a, the condition is, you have to be on horseback.
Nope. He was going to be on horseback. Oh, okay. Dijah.
Already unfair to begin with.
Yeah, it was unfair. All the way unfair. Like, I'm going to ride a horse and you're just going to run behind me.
It's unfair even if you know he's a snake, because, like, snakes can strike quickly, but they cannot travel as quickly as horses.
Right. The swords planted around the castle perimeter pierced and tore the snake's body, but he did not give up. Finally, the Lord and the snake completed the 7 laps. The snake's body was ragged, and rivers of blood flowed from his body. Immediately upon finishing his final lap, the Daija collapsed. Masamori's trap had worked. After some time had passed, the Daija awoke. It looked around, and seeing nobody, it realized that Masamori had lied. Trembling with rage, the Daija returned to the Shiga Highlands and summoned all of his family, servants, and clan members. All of the spirits of the Shiga Highlands. See, this is why I said he should have been paying attention. He said, I'm the guardian of this place. Guardians will call everybody.
Oh, that's absolutely true.
So now you're fucked.
I'm not saying it wasn't a good
move. Dad should have known better. All of the spirits of the Shiga Highlands arose and summoned a great storm. Rain, the likes of which had never been seen before, fell. Onima Lake swelled in size and burst forth, flooding everything around. All of the villages surrounding the lake were annihilated. Houses were knocked down, fields were flooded, people were killed. Like, this was horrible. No human or animal was able to escape the destruction. However, the mountains around Takanashi Masamori's castle acted like a shield, and the castle stood firm. Kurohime looked down from the castle and watched the torrent wash away everything, the entire region, her friends, people she liked, the people she saw every day. They were gone. She was heartbroken, and so she knew she was the only one who could stop the destruction. She left the castle by herself. I'm pretty sure it kind of went something like this. I love him, Daddy. You can't stop me as long as you live under my roof. And she took off. Like, Ariel has nothing on this girl because she was like, okay, Dad, fuck you. I'm leaving.
Peace.
Yeah, she was like, peace out, Dad. Yeah. So she leaves and she goes to the edge of the lake and she throws herself in. Now, the Daija realized that she just jumped in the flood, and he is heartbroken now, so he stops the whole, destruction. The lake recedes and everything goes back to normal.
She didn't think to try a honey, I'm home.
Right.
Clean up this mess.
That would have been my first. It'd be like, look, I'm here. What do you want?
Look, I'm here. He's not going to get in the way of us. Let's run away together.
Right.
Or something like that.
No. She was like,
I'm going to kill myself. She's like, you feel guilty.
Yeah. Like, I think had she just stood on the shore and been like, hey, I'm right here. Yeah. Come get me. But we can leave now.
Yeah, but at the same time, she had already lost all the people that she truly loved. Like, her friends, the people who accepted that.
Yeah, but still, I would...
The process of losing, technically, because they had not completely washed away. She saw the destruction, but
yeah,
doesn't actually state that, like, the city or the village is gone. It's just the destruction is starting to affect everything in the valley, and she saw what could happen.
The water comes all the way up to the mountain. So everything that was below the mountain where the castle is gone.
Yeah, but the people could still have survived.
I mean, they could have climbed the mountain.
Yeah.
Hung out at the top of the mountain with... Some of them could have been in the castle. She didn't know that.
Some of them could have been in the boats.
Yeah.
Because it was a fishing village.
But, so of course, you know, he's like, oh, my heart. And the lake shrinks back to its original borders. Now... The Daija is still worshipped today as the guardian deity of the Shiga Highlands. And there's a small shrine called Daija Jinja, located near Onima Lake, where the snake is enshrined. Every August, the villagers gather there to perform the Daija Matsuri and remember the story of Kirohime. And I feel like... We shouldn't pay homage to a chick who couldn't even just holler out, hey, sweetie, come here, I'm safe.
That's not what the ritual is for. The ritual is basically a... Because this guy is enshrined in this thing. He still exists in this shrine.
Yeah.
And they basically sit there and go, hey, you remember this one chick that you used to love and you flooded the valley and you killed her? Don't flood the valley. And then they go and fuck off for a year, then come back a year just to make sure. Last year we told you, but we're telling you again this year. Don't flood the valley.
I can kind of see them doing that too. I can see them being like, hey, you look just like her. Just holler out, don't flood the valley because you died last time.
No, it's just the village getting around and reminding him over and over again, like, hey.
Don't flood the valley.
You killed the bitch last time you flooded the valley. You might kill somebody that you could fall in love with this time. Don't flood the valley.
Yeah. Now, her body was never found. So, of course, this is like the sad version of this story. And I'm pretty sure there's a... Okay, I don't think there is a happy version of a story with them.
No, this is the Japanese Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, this is Romeo and Juliet. Japanese snake style.
But no, this is Romeo and Juliet Japanese... God style.
Yes, Japanese gods, Romeo and Juliet. I mean, this is one version of their Romeo and Juliet. Mm. There's another one with the goddess.
Numerous ones.
Yeah.
There's so many versions of Romeo and Juliet, it's ridiculous. I hate the story.
But yeah, so moral of our stories is, one, don't trust anything that comes out of the river.
Don't go into the water.
It's not your friend. Don't drink the water. Don't go in the water. Look, just leave water alone.
Something about kappas. Give them a good puzzle. It will, if you can keep them preoccupied and trying to figure out a puzzle, you can slip away.
Treat kappas like Gollum in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Treat kappa like golems. Don't trust snakes that you don't know. They might kill your friends.
Be careful what a fox will see.
Yes.
You never know what's going to come get you.
Be careful with what you might show foxes. Look, don't mess with foxes. Like, legit, they might eat you in your sleep.
The moral of the story is treat kappas like Gollum, and don't be a dick.
Yes. Because yep. Matsumori really was a dick. I can understand from a parent's point of view not wanting your kids to be in a relationship with an otherworldly being. But at the end of the day, it's an otherworldly being. It's going to do what it's going to do.
The stuff that otherworldly being can do.
Yeah, that...
wanting to go, let the kid go.
That would be like challenging Zeus to a sleep-off. You're not going to win.
I mean, there was a guy who got close.
He got close. Or challenging Thor to a drinking game.
Oh, God.
There is somebody who beat Thor at that.
Yes, it's an old lady who beat Thor.
Yes.
But we will discuss that at a later time. Thank you for joining us for another adventure in myths, monsters, and legends. Next week, we will be discussing the gods of death. And that will be a 2 or 3 part series. So we're going to start with 2 or 3 gods of death, and we're going to see, I don't know, how we feel about them, what we think about them. What are some myths about gods of death? I know we're going to do Anubis. We're going to talk about Kali, Yama, and of course, Hades and Thanatos. Yes. Which one is the god of death? And what's a god of the underworld if not a god of death?
Spoiler alert, Hades is not the god of death.
Follow us on Facebook and Twitter to keep updated on new stuff, and you can join our locals page. Search Myths, Monsters, and Legends. You'll find us everywhere. Thank you, and you guys have a great night.